Happy Monday evening. It's May 13th. This is the Still Spinning Podcast. My name is Nicole. He's Dan. You know what we
Unless,
should do?
Unless, of course, you're listening to this on the podcast, and now I have to edit the audio out, because now when you hear the podcast, it's not going to be Monday evening.
Sorry, I didn't know that was...
Damn it!
I didn't know that was a thing. I didn't know you edited that out. They know they're listening to a recording.
True. All right.
I don't think it's going to break anyone's like.
Yeah,
brain.
That's true. Like, I don't think anybody thinks they're listening to a podcast.
And they know
live.
We do it live. Yeah. So calm down.
Okay, everybody. Sorry.
Jeez, Dan. I'm not creating extra work for you, except some fun bonus content, if we could ever do it, is to record for our spinners, you and I, during the intro, starting with the countdown. And through the intro, because both of us dance and sing along to the
theme
song.
Did you see me today?
Song.
Did you see what I had today?
I did.
On the sit back, relax, still spinning is here. Bah! I timed it perfectly. I timed my spin perfectly.
Yeah. So sometime maybe we'll record that for the spinners. Oh, no. See, now he's messed himself up. He's unplugged his headphones. Everything's going great, everyone. Everything's going great.
There we are.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. I'll start us off by saying, hey, if you're interested in finding out more about the podcast, this is episode 53, which means there are 52 previous podcasts. You can find all of those on stillspinningpodcast.com, as well as fun merch and just a little bit of a bio on us. Oh, yes, that's not available. That is, Dan is drinking out of something that is an exclusive. There's
custom
only two of them.
Made.
Only two. I have one. He has another.
Three.
We should put our origin story on the website.
Why?
On how we got started.
Cares.
Did you say who cares?
I did, yes.
Jesus.
I know the story. It's not that exciting.
I know. I don't know. Most people don't know someone who won a contest and the prize was a job on radio, and now they're still talking to the person they won this job to work with how many years later?
Yeah.
That was 2005.
That was.
Jeez.
That was 2005.
That's when the contest was.
So we're coming up on, like...
We've known each other a long time.
Wow. We're coming up, like, the 20th anniversary soon.
Next year
of the early spin.
Thank you, Charlotte. It is a wild story. Again, Dan, who cares? I'm telling you.
2005.
Mm-hmm. 2005. But anyway, you can go to stillspinningpodcast.com and find out more of that information.
All right. Did you happen to catch the Northern Lights?
You know, I tried. I cut out of my show with my husband on Friday night to go upstairs to see if I could see it. But it's, you know, in the city of Chicago, it's impossible with the light pollution. And Friday night we had a storm, so it was really cloudy. And then Saturday, just couldn't see it.
I bet you without that storm, you could have seen it, even in Chicago.
Yeah,
it was so I didn't get to see it. And
what
I know
of all the people I know, I expected you would have had like a campsite somewhere.
I have a dog who's like losing it when storms come rolling around. So we had a storm coming in and I was busy preparing for that. I was trying to stay calm. I didn't want to go outside. And in my brain, they were like, oh, but it'll start, you know, Friday, and then you'll be able to see it on Saturday and Sunday and all this kind of stuff. And I did not see it either of those 2 days.
Aww.
So, it was terrible. I didn't get to see it. Although I was thinking about, you know who this is probably the worst for?
Who what's the worst for?
The Northern Lights were stunning, right? Like the pictures. Mm-hmm. I mean, people even here, like my neighbors were posting pictures. They were out in the backyard before the storm rolled in and they took pictures. And I'm like, this is beautiful. And it's not even just like the light little green. It was like the purples and the blues and all. And I'm like, that is just beautiful. This has got to be the worst for Norway.
I was going to say, any country that relies on tourists coming up to see the Northern Lights.
Iceland.
Absolutely.
All these countries like, damn it. Because now, I've seen it now. Now I don't need to hop on a plane and go to Iceland just to see the Northern Lights. And I've seen it better than you're going to see it in Iceland because.
But you have it.
Well, that's true. I still need to go. I've actually seen the Northern Lights before.
Oh, you have?
Yeah. Not as cool. Nowhere near like what was all the pictures I saw. But I've actually seen them twice. And if you go to northern Wisconsin, if you're ever up there, I was in northern Michigan once, you can, and the, you know, that happens. It's not a super rare occurrence up there. You get it several times a year. And so,
I have friends that have a farm up near Green Bay, and they were posting pictures, and they, it was astounding. Like, I was like, holy man, even if they've seen it before, which they said this was their first time seeing them, that they were just amazing.
This has ruined the Northern Lights for everybody, because, like, you will never see, like, now you will probably never in your lifetime see them the way that we saw them on Friday or Saturday or whatever.
Yeah, it had something to do with some, like, space storm, right?
Well, they all
And that's
do.
Why they were visible?
Every Northern Lights is because of a space storm. This just happened to be a really big, it's a magnetic, it's basically a coronal mass ejection, or a CME, if you will.
That sounds dirty.
Right, I know. And it looks dirty, too, if you ever see a picture of it. It's just basically the sun going, bleh. And if the timing is right and it goes bleh at the time that the earth, where it's like going out into the earth, and we kind of roll through the bleh, that's when you get to see the, that's when the Northern Lights happen. So
I had
it's
no
basically
idea.
Charging the North and the South Pole with electricity. And that's why you see it. And this charged, this is what they were worried about. I mean, they were worried about power outages and, you know, mass dogs and cats.
Living together,
mass hysteria is what they were worried about.
Yeah.
Charlotte says he should have had his 360-degree storm chaser camera on his car. Right. I also feel like I should put one of those on the roof of my house.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Just to kind of, and then go live every time like the space station comes over or something.
All right. Well, let's not get excited. I was thinking of like watching storms come in and stuff like that. I'd would be kind of interesting.
Some friends told me, actually friends of yours too, they were like, you need to like activate the Dybert Weather Command Center whenever, for the Northern Lights.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I would have, but I didn't know that they were going to be. Sometimes, I don't know if you guys know this about me, sometimes I, when there's a big storm coming through, I hop online and I just do like live, like storm, you know. Like,
live where?
Oh, like here. I've not done one this year.
Oh,
but like
say.
Last year, I used to do them all the time. When there was a storm rolling through somewhere, I'd pull up the radars and watch it. And we would all like get, I'd be like, oh, this is going to be a tornado warning. Here it comes.
Yeah.
And then sure enough, like a minute later, there's the tornado warning. You know what the problem with that is that, and this is going to sound so stupid, but I don't want people listening to me or paying attention to what I'm saying if there's an actual storm coming. Because it's fun, you know, for me to sit here and do all the stuff on the radar and say, oh, look, here's the weather. But if there's an actual tornado on the ground and there's like serious, I want you to get your weather information from an actual professional meteorologist, from the National Weather Service, from somebody else. I'm just an uber weather geek who has access to a lot of goofy radar tools.
You are my first call.
I know.
Whenever there's questionable weather, I'm always like, "Ooh, what's the Dan Dybert Weather Center tell me?"
But I don't want people doing that. I want people to just pay attention to
professionals.
Yeah, listen. If the National Weather Service, don't wait for Dan to tell you there's a tornado warning. Have your weather radios. Have your own little stuff.
Your own
little apps ready to go. So it's kind of weird that I don't. I mean, that's why I don't do that as much as I used to.
Good to know. Well, yeah. I'm sorry you missed the Northern Lights. That's a real bummer.
Yeah, sucked.
Yeah. Oh, well. Boy, I came across this story and I thought to myself, whoever this person is Dan Dybert's kindred spirit. So there was a story out of California, Seaside, California. A California man was ordered to keep his boat out of sight, and he's had the last laugh. By commissioning an artist to paint a realistic image of it on the fence that obscures it. So he's in Seaside, California, and he was told in July of last year by government officials he had to build a six-foot fence to hide the boat that he has parked in, like, his little
driveway, driveway.
Right?
Like, he has a driveway, and he probably lives in, like, some homeowner's community where they're like, nope, you can't have any. Actually, that's the rule in my neighborhood, too. You can't have any boats or, like, RVs or anything visible.
Really?
Yeah. Trailers.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So he said, you know, I'm not a rule breaker, But I do like to make a political statement as necessary, and I will also make a humorous statement and a creative statement. So he had them paint. He had someone come. Can I share this, Dan?
I think so.
All right. I just want to make sure, like, yeah. That always gives you the warnings. He had some artists come in and paint. Look at this thing.
Yeah.
Look at this thing. I don't know if, like, can you see if I have my pointer? Probably
yes.
Not.
Yes. Yeah, you can
okay.
See it.
Yep. So this is actually the boat, this top part here. All of this below is a painting. It's so lifelike and real looking. He said he hasn't heard anything yet from the officials on this or anyone. But I mean, look, he even painted on the side. Like that's painting. Like the gate and the brick.
So if you're walking by so for those of you listening to the podcast, if you're walking by this guy's house, he put up a 6-foot fence mm-hmm. and then painted, like you could still see the top of his old boat.
Yep.
Or his actual boat, but he painted what the exact view would be if you're looking at his boat in his driveway. So There's a fence there, but it's got the painting of the boat like it would exactly look if there were no fence there. It's fantastic.
It's so lifelike. And I saw the picture and I could not stop laughing. I'm like, good for you, man. He said the reaction's been more than he expected. And they're very tickled about it because, you know, people from the artist standpoint are like, holy crap, like this is really good. Like who did this? Like, give me some business. Apparently this guy that does the painting, he's all across the Central Coast area. And he just, you know, he was like, yeah, you know what? This guy asked me to do it. I'm a proponent of public art and spaces, and I thought it would be a fun thing to do. Other boat owners have now approached him to see if he can do the same thing for them. So he's starting like this little trend within his neighborhood of people who have to put sign or put fences up for whatever reason to just like paint the realistic. What are you missing?
Now,
well, here you go.
Here's where he could get in trouble. And I don't know what the rule, like in my neighborhood, you have to have your fence can only be like a certain couple of colors. And
oh,
it has
really?
To be like a solid color.
Oh.
And I say in my neighborhood, I'm not part of the condo association. Everyone around me is. Yeah. Somehow our property is not part of the condo association. It never was. So all these people have to follow all these rules
mm-hmm.
and we don't. Like it's
that's weird.
I don't know how that happened, but yeah.
It's just like carved out one little anomaly.
Us and the house across the street from us. We are not in the condo association. Really sucks in the winter time though, because they come around because they pay for winter snow removal, and then they come around and stop at our driveway, go over the next one.
I don't mean to laugh, but that's pretty funny.
Yeah. So along those lines, let me tell you a story that I heard a couple of years ago. There are RV parks, and information adjustment chimed in here. #hero #goals. Absolutely.
Yep.
Well, I think information adjustment has an RV, so he might be, or a trailer anyway, he might be interested in this. Mm. So there are some campgrounds, and it's probably 30% of them, that do not allow trailers or RVs that are over 10 years old.
What?
Because they look crappy and they don't. I understand. Now, the thing is, back in the day, a 10-year-old trailer probably looked crappy. You can still have a pretty nice 10-year-old trailer today. Right.
What do you mean when you say trailer?
Like a camper.
Oh, a camper is very different than a trailer.
I'm sorry. Yes. They don't allow like campers, like 10-year-old, like if your camper's more than 10 years old. Right. Or your rig
BS.
Is what they like to call it.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Sure. Like you don't want someone, Cousin Eddie, pulling up.
Exactly.
That kind of thing. But now they're all so fancy.
Right.
Even 10 years ago.
Yes. So, a couple was making a, now I can't even imagine having this much money to, as Charlotte put in our comments, malicious compliance is my favorite thing. I can't imagine having this much malicious money. There was a couple that had an RV. They were traveling the country and there was a campground in, I want to say it was somewhere in Missouri. Didn't tell anybody, but when they pulled up, they had reservations. When they pulled up, they said, "I'm sorry, your trailer is too old. Actually, it was an actual full-size RV, and then like, but it's too old. And they're like, it was like 15 years old. They're like, but it didn't look bad, but it was, they're like, nope, sorry, that's the rule. And they're like, we just drove 9 hours. Can we just stay here one night? And originally they told them, yes, you could stay one night and then you got to go. But then at some point they came up to him and went, you know what? No, you got to go. Now, not the worst thing when you're in an RV, right? You can go somewhere and
yeah, but you need your water hookup and you got to do your disposals. Right. And if you have a reservation, you've probably paid some sort of deposit.
Right. So this couple was so mad that the following year they bought a brand new RV, right? Beautiful, brand new RV. And they vinyl wrapped it to look like Cousin Eddie's RV. They bought a seasonal site at this campground.
Come on.
And parked it there for the entire season with this green, nasty, rusty looking vinyl wrap on this thing. And you walked inside and it was like this beautiful Tiffin motorhome. I mean, just gorgeous inside. But on the outside, they vinyl wrapped it to look like Cousin Eddie's RV.
That is some malicious money. I like
it. And then got like an entire season at this campsite. I don't even know if they stayed there. They might have just parked the RV there, but you know what? It's fine.
We're going to the hotel. Like, who cares? Because they can't turn them away, right? Because it's new.
It's brand new. It's less than 10 years old. So, yeah. Yes.
I'm there for that. That is fantastic.
That is some malicious money right there, though. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, those Tiffin motorhomes are $250,000 to start with. Yeah. And then, yes, thank you, information. Right. That's not malicious money. That there is FU money, and that it sure is. It sure is.
Good for them. I'm all for it.
Shitter's full, Clark.
Oh my gosh. I'm here for it. I would fully support that. Vinyl wrap it. I'm sure the place that did it was kind of like, what do you want us to do? And then you tell them the story, and they're on board. We will wrap the hell out of this stuff.
I just can't even imagine that, but yes, good for them.
Good for them indeed. And good for this guy in the boat and his boat fence.
I mean, I will tell you though, like if you're the guy who has to enforce these rules in the neighborhood.
No, thank you.
I would find that hilarious. Like if I went to the guy and said, I'm sorry, you just can't have, you have to have a fence. You can't just have a boat out in the open. That's the rules. And then he did that. I would laugh hysterically at that and go,
yeah,
my man, like,
you did it.
Nice
work. You put the fence up.
Thank you.
You did exactly what we asked you to do.
That would be
awesome. Thank you, sir.
Yes. All right. Colorado woman's attempt to steal a pickup truck went awry. First of all, let's start with this. She was just released from jail on a car theft charge. So she was on her way out of the jail and decided to try to steal somebody's pickup.
Okay.
This was thwarted, however, and this is Boulder, Colorado, where this happened last week.
Okay.
Her attempt to steal this was thwarted, not by the police.
Because
it pretty much happened in their parking lot. It was not thwarted by the car owner.
Okay.
It was thwarted by the fact that she could not drive a stick shift.
Screw you, lady. I think about this often.
I do too with you. You always tell me you drive a stick shift and how you don't want to change and all that. Yes, I agree.
I drive a stick shift. I don't not want to not drive a stick shift. But car thefts in Chicago are bonkers. Now, granted, my car is 20 years old, so I don't know that anyone wants to steal my car. But even if they did, it's a stick shift.
Right.
They would not be able to drive it. I actually knew someone who, when I lived in Milwaukee, used to deliver pizzas. And they were pulling into River West. They just like stopped in the street, left their car door open to run the pizza up. And somebody tried to steal the car and then yelled at them because they're like, what did you do to this car? What did you do to it? Because it was a stick shift and they didn't know how to drive it. So they're trying to go and it just stalls out.
Do you realize how we could cripple the kids today? Like we could cripple people. All we need to do is use paper maps,
mm-hmm.
have crank windows in our cars, mm-hmm. and drive stick shifts.
And rotary phones.
And rotary phones. They would come. They would die in the fetal position in their basements because they would have no clue how to function in today's society.
That is correct. Well, most people don't know how to drive a stick shift. At least most people that I have come across. I do, when I do team building workshops, one of the things, one of the exercises, like the warm-up exercises we do is called Anybody Who. And you say something that's true about yourself, and then everybody else, if it's true about you, you have to do a certain thing.
Right.
And that's always what I start with, is that I can drive a stick shift car. And I would say 8 out of 10 times, nobody moves because they nobody knows how to drive it.
Although you could just lie at that game.
I mean, you of course. But my point is, it's a skill that not a lot of people have. And I have tons of friends. And before they go to Europe, I always tell them, hey, if you want to learn how to drive a stick shift, I will open the Nicole Devon School of Drivery and teach you how to drive, because you can get an automatic, at least in the places we've gone, you can get an automatic, but you're going to pay a lot more, and it's probably going to be a bigger car than you want to drive there. Trust me, you want the smallest car you possibly can.
The cars
can
you
get.
Make fun of here, those little like Euro crazy car, that's what you actually want to drive when you go to Europe.
There are a reason Euro cars are tiny, because their roads are tiny, and you don't want to meet. You don't want a full size SUV. You don't want a full size car. When you're there.
I can't imagine driving in a little tiny car. Although it makes sense, you know, as much as we make fun of the British for driving on the opposite side of the road.
Yeah.
It kind of makes more sense, doesn't it? Because if we have a collision and we get too close and we have a collision, we hit where the drivers are.
Yeah.
Everywhere else in the world, right? You would smash, it would be the two drivers that hit. In the UK, it's just the empty side of the car that would hit.
No, it's still the drivers.
No. You're on the opposite side.
Yeah, but so are they. The driver's on the right-hand side.
No, hold on a minute.
And you drive on the left
side
of the street.
That's right. You switch the sides of the... Yeah.
It's okay, still that way. I've heard
they
somewhere...
They switch the sides, and then they
double switched.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about the double switch.
I heard it had to do with going back to, like, jousting days, and had to do with, like, being right-handed and holding. Like, you had to be ready to stab with your correct... hand. I don't know if that's true or not.
I figure that's not.
It's probably not.
I mean, I figure we.
In my mind, I'd like to think maybe.
I mean, cars have been. I mean, cars weren't a thing until like the 1900s. So I don't. I think.
But
jousting,
I mean, roads.
It wasn't like we went straight from jousting to cars.
Well, sure, but then you went to like wagons and stuff, and you had to be able to stab somebody.
Was that a thing when you drove around the wagons? You had to be able to stab somebody,
right? Like if you met. A heathen, you want to stab him? Is that not how it worked when you were driving?
If you met a, if you damn right, if you met a heathen,
you would stab him. I might have to do a little research on that, on the truth of that.
You met a heathen.
What? But yeah, you still drive on the wrong side.
Fantastic.
Yeah, go stick shifts. Go. I am all for that.
But you know what? I love
it.
Just the heathen. If you're not a scoundrel or a heathen while you're traveling down the road.
Someone who's trying to do something nefarious. Like, you want to be able to stab them.
Well, that would be a heathen. And then you just and then you just put your knife at the end of a big stick. You play a little stabby
Charlotte
pokey.
Knows what I'm talking about. If there were robbers back in the 1800s, I'm sure you'd have to stab them.
Well, you couldn't shoot
them. That's all I'm saying.
You couldn't shoot them. You probably didn't have guns. So, you're probably right.
To be fair, in the UK, you can't shoot them now either.
True. But I mean.
They don't really have guns.
Yeah. That's. Yeah, true. Good point.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway.
That's fantastic.
Love it. So they caught her. Did they just put her back in jail?
So apparently they had the downside of this, though, is when she figured out she couldn't steal the guy's truck, she actually left the, she just got out of the truck, left it out of gear. So it rolled down a hill and hit a fire hydrant.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But still, she was not able. Yeah. And then they did catch her. And it's like, come on. You're going right back to jail, you heathen.
Yeah. So if you ever drive a stick shift, always leave it in gear.
Always leave it.
Because otherwise it can roll away.
Yep.
Like, even if you have the parking brake on.
If your foot's not on the brake, leave it in gear.
That's right. I always leave my car in second gear. Always.
Yes.
Speaking of.
You know where you don't want to drive your.
Yeah. I was going to say, speaking of my car, Forbes just released a new study. And shocking no one, Forbes lists Chicago as the 7th worst city for drivers. Honestly, I'm surprised we're not top.
That's the shocking part. There are 6 worse cities to drive in than Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah. So the article says Chicagoans don't take criticism well regarding their driving skills, but Forbes recently ranked worst cities to drive in, and like a shot of Malort, Chicago's not the best. We ranked 7th nationwide because, quote, drivers spend the highest amount of time in traffic among cities we analyzed. And as a result, drivers spend the most on gas thanks to congestion. We ranked 3rd worst for overall driving experience. We ranked 5th in longest average commute time, which was 34 minutes and 30 seconds, which, let me tell you what, that's not bad.
Right. I agree.
That's not bad at all. And Forbes suggesting it takes Chicago drivers on average 17 minutes to travel 6 miles. I would love to know the last time it took me only 17 minutes to travel 6 miles.
So this is the average. So they're averaging it when there's no...
Right. When there's in the middle of the night, when there's no lanes closed.
The problem with Chicago is they will just do construction where there's like no... I don't feel like there's a master plan. Like they're not like, well, let's not shut down these two roads because if we're going to do construction on this interstate, these are going to be the roads that people need to use. Mm-hmm. And they never... They just will do it wherever they... Like wherever and whenever. And they're just like, screw it. We don't care. Now, I will say the worst traffic that I was consistently at, well, Chicago's up there. In fact, I will tell you what, I have a trip to Michigan coming up in a couple of weeks, three or 4 weeks. It's going to cost me $400 extra by the time you get
the ferry?
By the time you do the round trip ticket and you get your car across the lake. Mm-hmm. I am not driving through Chicago traffic. I'm going to pay, well, the client. Somebody else is going to pay it, but I am going to take the extra time to go across Lake Michigan so I don't have to drive around Chicago.
Yeah.
Worst traffic I was ever in is Washington, D.C. And there was no construction. There was no, it was just consistently bad from the time I got, and anywhere. You could take a cab, and it took forever.
Yeah.
So is DC on the list? Do you have the whole list or was
I have the top 5.
Okay.
The top 5 are Oakland, California, Miami, Florida, San Francisco, California, Houston, Texas, which kind of surprised me, and Philadelphia. I can take a look at the complete list. Let's see where DC falls. I'm doing it now.
Casey says Colorado is number 1, not according to the list.
Not according to the list, Casey. Charlotte and you know says, what? DC isn't even in the top 10. Believe
maybe it's
it or
fixed
not.
Now. Maybe. Orlando or Miami is the worst to drive in, says Charlotte. She also says Chicago. Right. Chicago's wild because they will just do construction in the middle of the day. Plus, people are so aggressive in making left turns. That's true, too. They will do construction daytime, nighttime.
They don't care.
Nope. They don't care.
Just
it'd be
like,
great.
Oh, there's a thing. I'm just going to stop and put some stuff out and just close this lane down. The other day, it took me on Wednesday, which I realize now it's because Biden was in town, but I did not know this. So they closed down Lakeshore Drive. So everyone that would normally be on Lakeshore Drive was on every other road. Like, it's gotten to the point where just sitting on the highway is actually better than trying to go local because at least you're moving. Yep. You might not be moving quickly. My leg goes to sleep. This is the downside of the stick shift in Chicago. There are times where I don't get out of first gear for like a half an hour because I'm just sitting in stop and go traffic and it drives me absolutely insane. So I have to like put it in neutral and like shake my foot out because it literally goes to sleep. When you're sitting having to go in and out of first gear, you can't really have your foot off the clutch for very long.
I've gotten to the point now where I'm so spoiled, especially since the pandemic. I just don't do like traffic, like, you know.
Oh, it's the worst.
And I will also tell you that when we were on the radio, most of my radio jobs, I did a morning show. I never had to deal with traffic driving in at, you know, and then I'm leaving at like 11 o'clock in the afternoon, never dealing with traffic. I've never really been at a point in my life where I've had to, like, on a consistent basis every day at 5 o'clock or every day, you know. I've not had to do that. And I've been pretty lucky that way. But now when I go, like, I was driving through Minneapolis a few weeks ago. It wasn't that bad. It was bad. I mean, it was more than, you know, but I'm like, and I was so mad. And I'm like, I stopped and got Starbucks. I'm like, mad. I'm like, this is dumb. Why was it?
Oh, yeah.
And then you're like, well, that took me 20 minutes. You're like, that's not so bad.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, right. I know. It's.
There was a time, because they're doing a massive construction situation on our freeways, 9094, which is what I have to take for one of my jobs.
Yeah.
Coming home one day took me an hour and 45 minutes. Now, if there is no traffic, it's 18 minutes. It's been a long time since it's been that 18 minutes. But that's how quickly I can get there. an hour and 45 minutes, I almost called them and told them I was never coming back. Like, it's just not worth it.
Why?
To sit in that freaking traffic, and then you try to go around it, and everything's just jammed. I went from our theater the other day to downtown, which was 4 miles. I sat at one stoplight, the first car, for 3 rounds because people were blocking the box, were pulled out so far. And here's when also having a 20-year-old car comes in handy. I just got as close as I could to the one guy and just was like laying on my horn. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, get out of the freaking way, man.
Oh, don't God. You have, can't you take so the fetid tube?
What the hell is that?
The fetid, the train?
The CTA?
Yeah. Fetid. What?
Fetid tube? What are you calling fetid it?
Fetid is like disgusting and unpleasant. Mm. That's how I refer to the,
it, I mean,
the fetid tubes.
It depends on where you're going. So my one job that it took me an hour and 45 minutes to get home, if I took the train bus, I would have to do a combination of bus train to do it. And it would take me
that combination
an hour
sucks.
And 15 minutes.
That combination. Yeah. And then you got to end up on a vehicle anyway. Like, so you're going to
Right, because you're on a bus and then you're just sitting in traffic anyway. Because, yeah, it just depends on where you're going from and to. And the trains have gotten a lot sketchier.
Oh, I know.
Since the pandemic. Like, a lot sketchier, so that makes
everything
it harder.
Has. Steve Buscemi's walking down the street in New York and gets punched in the face. Everything has gotten, like you.
Well, Steve Buscemi, but there was a time, maybe last month, I think it was in April, where there were a bunch of women that was happening to in New York, just randomly walking down the street, someone just punched them. Like, it's terrifying out there.
Yeah.
Absolutely terrifying.
So stay in your house, don't do anything.
Lock the doors, do whatever you want. We went to across the street to do a lovely high tea for Mother's Day yesterday.
Yeah.
And we got the big table right by the open garage door. You know how like some places have the garage door?
Yeah.
And my back was to it. And we heard a noise and I was like, well, if this is where I get shot, honestly, at this point, like, what am I gonna do? You know? You just gotta roll the dice sometimes.
Somebody's gonna give you the old, you know what you got? You got some hoodlums and you got some
hooligans.
You got some hooligans.
Hooligans.
And what
just
was
stab them.
I forgot the word already. What'd you say?
Didn't I call them hooligans?
No, hooligans is no. You called them.
Oh, now I forgot. Everybody, what did I say?
I
what
sure
did
I was gonna write it down so I could bring it back later. It wasn't hooligans. It was
traveling in the. You gotta stab them. You just gotta stab them.
Nefarious? No, what was the word?
No, I thought I started with an H.
Heathens. That's right. You got some
Look,
heathens.
Sometimes you just run into heathens, and you just gotta stab them.
And you just gotta give them the old Chicago handshake.
That is not what the Chicago handshake is. When you have an old style beer and a shot of Malort. That is a Chicago handshake.
Incorrect.
What do you mean incorrect?
Chicago handshake is when you shake somebody and you hold their hand with your right hand so they can't, and then you shoot them with your left hand.
That is not a Chicago
handshake.
So they can't
get to their gun. You're holding their hand.
When was that a Chicago handshake?
Probably in like the 20s.
The 20s?
Hey there, get those heathens out of here with the old Chicago
handshake. Yeah, I was
going to
say, you want to talk about heathens? That's
Someone's going to get the old Chicago handshake.
And now let's leave you with some positive news, everybody. Positive news. McDonald's has announced they are planning a $5 meal deal to try to win back some of the customers who have been unhappy with rising costs. The value meal,
$17 for two.
Oh my gosh! Yeah.
Extra meal. Yeah. Yes.
Yep. That's exactly what I mean. The value meal is going to offer a choice between a McChicken or a McDouble with fries and a drink. Now, whether this actually happens, I don't know.
No, that is going to happen. There's a lot of press about this. But wait, what size fries? What size drinks?
It does not say, Dan.
Because this right now is describing a kid's meal.
Which it could, well, not a McDouble, but the fries and the drink are probably kid-size.
You get a burger and one little small fries and a small drink, and then that's a kid's meal.
But it's a double. Like, their burger is a double. It's not just like a little burger. I don't know. It does not state, which makes me think it's going to be the smallest they can. But still, for $5, let me tell you where it's going to be a nightmare. Any of them that are around a high school.
Yep.
or a school with open, our the McDonald's that's closest to us is almost right across the street from a high school that has about 4,000 kids in it. And going anywhere.
With open lunch?
Yes. Going anywhere when they are around is an absolute nightmare.
Remember 99-cent like sodas? It wasn't even that. Oh, yeah. I feel like this wasn't that long ago. This was, you know, no. I want to say, oh, back when I was a kid. No, it was It was like 3 years ago. Like it
pre-pandemic, I'm pretty sure that McDonald's still had drinks like beverages on their dollar menu.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally, your whole like the whole meal was like $5.80 or something for.
Yep.
Yeah. Now it's just, you know, you don't want a breakfast bagel? That's $6.
Yep. It's ridiculous. Right now, there are some places where their Big Mac meal is $18.
Charlotte says, dollar large teas. That's right. My wife would get the tea. I would get the Diet Coke because there's nothing better than a McDonald's Diet Coke.
Agreed. And I don't like Diet Coke unless it's McDonald's Diet Coke because it's different.
Yep. I just went there yesterday to, well, I will say this though. I will go every now and then just to get, because I'm jonesing for the Diet Coke.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody's going to McDonald's. I've never, like the last several times I've gone there to go just grab a drink and go through the drive-thru, there's nobody else in the line.
Oh, our drive-thru line gets really long, but I'd be surprised if there were people inside.
Yeah, but every line in Chicago in a car is long. That's not, the people are just going there to get out of the traffic line. But no, seriously, like there's two different McDonald's I can go to, and the last few times there's been maybe one car in the line ahead of me. So you know they're hurting. That's what this $5 meal is all about here.
That's exactly what it's all about. They've lost a large share, and I don't blame people. Like, it's one thing to go to a place where you can at least sit down and have a $15 burger. I'm not paying $15 for a Big Mac. I'm sorry. It's not that good. And I love don't get me wrong, I love McDonald's. There are times, especially if it is a day after an evening out, where there is nothing better than McDonald's.
Right.
But there is a line. There's a limit on how much I will pay.
All right. Well, listen, I think that's going to wrap us up today for our podcast. We will have some bonus material for our spinners. If you would like to be a spinner, which is somebody who... basically our sugar mamas and our sugar daddies is basically what the spinners are, right? So if you go to, you can go to stillspinningpodcast.com, click on the Still Merchant link. That can get you some shirts and hats and shower curtains and bath mats and such. Or you can click on the subscribe to our podcast. Or if you listen to, Spotify, you can also subscribe right through Spotify. But from our website, stillspinningpodcast.com, you can go to our Patreon page, and that is where you can sign up and get the special super secret bonus episode podcast feed links. So,
Super secret.
It's super, well, it's, yeah.
Super secret.
It's nothing even like easy, like still spinning. It's like everybody has their own. So that way when you stop subscribing, then you can't, then you're, you each have your own secret link.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's pretty trippy.
All right. Well, listen, have a great night, everybody. Have a great week, and we will talk to you. We'll talk to our spinners later on this week with some bonus content. Everybody else, we will talk to you Monday of next week, right? Or Wednesday if you're listening to the podcast.
I don't know. Am I supposed to say the date now? I got chastised early on. I'm afraid to say it. Yes. We'll talk to you all Monday.